This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradud.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. This is not an episode of the podcast. Again, we are with our favorite people, the WCRA. This is the final night of their event here at Cowtown Coliseum. We did something a little different. Normally, we're talking to legends and stars and all these things. We decided it would be really cool to talk to some of the younger people who are competing in the WCRA that we normally wouldn't have on The Gauge, which is amazing because we get an opportunity to meet people who will eventually fill the shoes of some of the biggest people in rodeo. We also talked to Larry D and Bobby Motes, legends, but I think it's awesome to get to talk to some of the young people, see what rodeo means to them, talk about people's aspirations, and it's just really great to be exposed to some younger people because you guys know how it is on The Gauge, and this is a little different. We're really excited to promote this event with the WCRA. Our partnership with them is as good of a partnership as you could hope to have, and anything we can do to help promote the WCRA, we're going to do, so check it out. Yeah, all right, we are here with the president of the WCRA, my guy Bobby Motes. All right, Bobby, we've obviously been talking forever. Your announcers sound great. I think they cleared out every cobweb they could possibly
right,
have.
Right, pre-show sound check. Yeah, they've been making over. Sure they got all the CDs spinning.
And over. Yeah. And over.
And over. Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard their entire soundtrack, so it's great.
Yeah. Announcers are narcissistic. They like to hear themselves talk, so.
They do. Yeah, all the announcers I know, I'm thinking of specific ones, they really are.
Yeah. Well, and the show goes pretty fast. They don't get to hear themselves talk much, so they get a little pre-show. Warm it up.
It's always been an interesting in rodeo, the people who talk about rodeo and the people who compete in rodeo.
Yeah.
One's an easy target, and it's not the competitors. But anyway, so tell us a little bit about how the event's going. Obviously, we know exactly what's going on. Scott stopped by yesterday and really broke down what it is, how it pertains to the Triple Crown of Rodeo and what have you, but it'd be nice to hear some of it from you as well.
Yeah, so we're at our third event of the year, end of the year, obviously, which this is a new event. You know, we were on a pretty steep trajectory before COVID hit, and, you know, it was a pretty good model. We had events that kind of piggybacked along with PBR, Unleash the Beast events, and their bigger markets. It was, that was all moving along pretty good. COVID hit, shut down, you know, all live events. And so then we had to scramble to put some stuff on. And now we feel like we have at least a little more clear runway ahead of us. And so our goal this year was to do our three events, start to create some consistency, do these same three events again next year, therefore more consistency, and then begin to build on that. So there's some small stuff we'll do in between, but largely, you know, it'll be, again, we'll go from here to Corpus Christi, Rodeo Corpus Christi, which is a really fun rodeo.
Yeah, really entertaining.
Great place to bring your family, you know, on the bayfront. Like, when I was rodeoing, it was a one-header. I'd go in there, I'd fly in, I'd ride, I'd leave. Maybe I ate shrimp once.
Right.
And it's beautiful there. There's a lot you can do. And so the format allows you to stay there for a day or two. The weather's good. And so that's great. Days of 47, they've really kind of hit their stride now. I think they sold almost 50,000 tickets there this last year.
Wow.
They had great crowds. I think we've got the stock lined out there where we've got great stock, and, you know, it's an electric environment, a lot of fun. Pay $25,000 in gold medals to win that one, and then finish it off here. And I think this is a special event. You know, one of the common misconceptions, like when we announced this, they're like, well, the pros will just be getting done at the NFR. I mean, why are they going to want to go there? It's like, this isn't about the pros. I mean, the pros want to come. That's great.
And they're here.
And if they're ambitious, they're, you know, you put $1 million out in front of them, then the guys like Clayton Bigelow that have a chance at that right now, they're going to take advantage of it, and they should. But we're about trying to promote growth in rodeo. And so what I saw last night that was really cool, I saw, like, you know barrel racing, so Steely Steiner and Rainey Skelton, my daughter the night before, Laura Moat, that British strain. You know, as far as barrel racing goes and the riding events and the timed events, every event, there's lots of people who could compete at that level, but they're either not old enough to go rodeo full time, have chose to, you know, whatever, not go run the wheels off their trailer to go prove it or whatever, to have a chance at a platform like this. You know, so here they are, and they get a chance to compete. I saw Pecos Tatum last night, 16-year-old tie-down roper. Mm-hmm. He makes it back. Taylor Santos goes right after him. He come from the NFR.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Taylor or whatever, but, yeah. I mean, he just backed in there, you know, with that kind of talent, level playing field, and he beat him.
Yeah.
Top two every day, advanced to tonight, and so tonight's a really fun format. Showdown round. And then the Triple Crown round. So,
yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting because, again, it's kind of like sudden death. You got to be the top three out of the showdown round to advance to the Triple Crown round. From a media standpoint, we have two products here. From the live event standpoint, you have one. You get to watch it all the way through. And so I think it's a good model where it's going to continue to build on it.
I think so. And, I mean, we love the WCRA because if you're the kind of person who does not want to, like you said, run the wheels off your truck, it gives you an opportunity to nominate and then go compete against top guys. See if you have the stuff. That's one thing. But also have a chance at this money that is as big or bigger than the largest rodeos of the year. So it really creates an interesting dynamic. And that's because I've talked to some people and they're like, well, it's strange because when someone found out that we were going to be here, and obviously everybody knows that the Gage and WCRA, our wagons are hitched, which we're really grateful for because you guys are probably one of our easiest partners to work with. But a lot of people said that. It's like there's no way that people who just got done at Vegas are going to go to Fort Worth for this. And I was like, I guarantee you a huge portion of them will. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, it's in a great area, it's a simple format, and it's a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. Of course they want more money. Who wouldn't?
People that rodeo for a living.
For money.
I mean,
that's the point. You know that better than anybody.
That's how they pay their bills. Yeah. And so, you know, if they left Vegas with 80 or 120 or what, however many thousand dollars.
Yeah.
It's not like they just found it in the road. They probably, a lot of that was already spoken for before they rolled into town.
I mean, you know that better than anybody.
That's the reality of it. Yeah. So it's just like if you have a great week out there, it's just like, okay, now I can pay some bills, right? Pay for some stuff that I've already wore out. And then I got a little bit of buffer between me and the wolf, right, this next year.
Yep.
Got to stay healthy.
Yep.
You know, my horses got to stay healthy. Things still have to roll. And so, you know, from the outside looking in, you see, man, 10 days they make that kind of money. Times that by three, times that by 365. That may be the only time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dream. It's, you know, like I was fortunate enough to make it 15 times in a row.
Right.
It's hard to make it once.
Yeah.
You know, but there's never a guarantee. And that's let me tell you, that's the greatest rodeo that there is.
Right.
Nothing will ever be like it. You know, and I'm a huge fan of that rodeo and everybody
who dedicated
goes
there. A giant portion of your life to it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I also realize that there's people like Trey Johnson. You had him on your podcast earlier this year. I listened to the podcast while I was loading hay.
Yeah.
And so Trey Johnson has worked it. Sorry.
That's all right.
As if
that were the only sound that we're intrigued.
Yeah, that's not the only one
you're
dealing with.
That's the least of our worries.
Yeah. I know him well. He's worked at his craft for a long time, but he also has a higher calling to bring people to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so that's his family, you know, his ministry. But he loves rope. He's a 9 healer, could be a 10 healer, right?
Yeah.
And so he can go to the jackpots, fill in. He doesn't have to nominate all the time, but where he's got a good chance, good partner, whatever, he qualified here, he gets Colby Level.
Yep.
They make a good run last night. They win the round. He won $1,600 apiece. He's back tonight. They go make two more good runs.
Yeah.
They get 12-5 and on to the next one. They nominate this one, so it's essentially like getting on tour.
Yeah.
They'll get so many points from this that they'll be in Corpus.
Yeah.
And so now the wheel just keeps rolling. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity because it doesn't take so long to get it.
Well, it's perfect for anybody who, like you said, has something else. I mean, I always look at the WCRA when people are like, well, are you going to start rodeoing again? Like, no, but I'm probably going to go to WCRAs when I get everything timed where I can. Well, why would you want to do that? Because it's non-commitment. It's a non-commitment. You just pay your money, you enter, you nominate, you do the things you need to do, and you win money, and then you can also get to feel like you're a part of the industry, because that's you probably know this, but like when you stop rodeoing and you start doing other things, you get this weird fear of missing out, this whole, like you're just missing everything and the world's moving and you're standing still.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so great about the WCRA is it doesn't have to. So
yeah.
It's amazing. Well,
speaking from personal experience, like I wanted, when I started team roping, I was still riding bareback horses. And so the only place that I got to rope was at the rodeos.
Right.
So I started out like just trying to go to the big pro, like in a Reno. I'm already there, right? And so that's a hard way to get broke in. And and so
talk about getting thrown to the wolves.
Get thrown to the wolves. Well, so but then like when I'm done rodeo, it's like I don't really want to go just like go to all the regional rodeos, whatever. Like I like to go to the jackpots because I know I can, one, you win a lot of money at them and stuff. But as far as going rodeoing, that's behind me because I've spent my life gone and camping out basically.
Yeah.
And I just don't really want to do it, but I want to get better and I want to have a reason.
Right.
And so I say, okay, well, I'm going to go to this one. And so then I nominate a few jackpots and I qualify. And so now it's just like, okay, reality's setting in. You're going to have to start practicing going at it a little faster.
Yeah.
Well, so then I start working on my horses. I start working on getting better and apply some effort to it. Everybody else is the same thing. You need a focal point. You need an incentive, a reason to try to get better. And then as a result, I didn't do good here, but as a result, I feel like my short game is a lot better than it was had I not made a commitment. Like you have to say, okay, I'm going to do this. But like you said, there's no long-term commitments to this. You can, you can nominate literally right before you, you know, right before the event starts. Say, you know what, I think I want to do that.
Well, and there's no chance of going broke. There's no chance of, like, I mean, you know, right? Like, the extreme failure, if Vegas doesn't go well, it screws up your whole next year. And possibly, I mean, there's so many trickle-down effects to that just from a logistical and financial standpoint. Something like this, you're out, your fuel, whatever time commitment you had, the rodeo or jackpot you nominated, and your entry fee.
Well, no entry fee here.
Yeah, not here.
Yeah, no entry fee here. And wherever you were going that you nominated, you were going to enter anyways.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, there's so many people that make it here by virtue of one nomination. Miles Baker, he's another one. He's a horse trainer, getting pretty well known for what he does with Trevor Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He nominated one rodeo, did pretty good, made it here. Team roping's kind of been terrible here, really.
Right.
Run one clear to the outgate. They caught him in mid-7.
Yeah.
And he makes it back tonight. Clean slate. Doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter who he is or where he came from or anything else.
No.
He's got a chance the same as the next guy.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I really like that, you know.
I just like the whole format. It's exciting. It's easy to follow. The whole process, it's geared towards simplicity, which means it can duplicate and grow. And I think, I mean, that's why we like you guys so much, why I like you guys so much, is because it's geared towards everyone.
It's ironic that you say it's geared towards simplicity because one of the number one pieces of feedback that I get is it's so complicated, I can't understand it.
A lot of the rodeo guys say that, but regular people don't.
Well, I mean, the reality is it's just like, would you rather – there's a qualifier for XYZ event over here.
Yeah.
You got to pick a day. It's on this day, whether it fits your schedule or not. You got to pick that day. You got to go to it. Everybody else goes to it too, and you got all your eggs in that basket. If you don't make it back by way of that XYZ qualifier, you got to wait till the next one.
Yep.
And maybe that works for you, or maybe it doesn't. Like this is the total opposite. You say, "Where's your honey hole? You know, where do you feel like your horse runs good, or where do you have a good horse drawn?
You can almost
whatever.
Guarantee you make it to one of these.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's simple, but people are really used to the formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as rodeo and then the qualifiers for the American, people like to be told where to go and what to do. It's kind of weird.
Let's
when
just
you
tell
get,
them.
Yeah.
You need to go nominate.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. It's that simple. We say it over and over. Just go nominate. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? It means pick where you're going to go, put it into the app or on the website, and you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that hard? I think it's brilliant as far as simple goes.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this, too. We have I think 6 or 8 people on our customer service, like our calling team.
Yeah.
So anytime somebody, if they go on to the app and they're a new registrant, they better get a call within about 24 to 48 hours.
Sure.
If they don't, I kind of want to know about it.
Right.
Right? And so somebody calls them, assuming you answer. If you didn't answer, you get a text and an email follow-up. Right. And they're there to answer your questions. They say, welcome to the WCRA. Can I answer any questions? Well, how do I nominate? Well, and they walk you through the process. And then basically the way it works is we have every event. You'd be surprised the events we have in the data, 16,000 events in the database.
Right.
You say, I'm going to this jackpot this day. And so it takes about 45 seconds or less to make a nomination. You say, this is the day I'm up. This is my discipline. This is what I want to nominate. And you pay. You have a profile. It's already saved where you save your credit card. And then what happens is then we track those results. We say if you placed, mm-hmm. then there's a certain – we have a formula for the level of event that you've nominated. If you placed, there's a certain level of points that are applied to a leaderboard. So this one here, we said we're going to take the top 24 from the leaderboard. So every Thursday we update the leaderboard. You see, hey, I won the jackpot I nominated last week or the two jackpots I went to, I placed, whatever. You check back on the leaderboard. You see where you land. We're really like, we'll blow your phone up with text and email notifications saying segment's about to close, segment's closing, entries open, entries closed. You can do it all right here.
Yeah.
It's really, really easy.
I mean, I think it's really simple. So yeah. I think maybe people just needed someone like you or Scott or whomever to explain it, you know, start to finish how to do it. And
yeah, I mean, but people are intimidated by that even. Like yeah. A lot of people aren't going to call me, but this is what I would say. Odds are, if you look at the leaderboard, you know somebody on there.
Right.
So there's somebody who's done it already.
Yeah.
Somebody's figured it out. Somebody who you're friends with that you can say, hey, how did that work? I think you had Jordan Driver here a little while ago. Well, Dane Driver, her dad, they that's what they did. You know, they talked to somebody. They said, what is that? How does it work? They figured it out.
Yeah.
And then he's been a huge, you know, proponent for us because he's had a lot of people that know him or see him at the barrel races or whatever. And they say, hey, how does it work? And he explains it.
Yeah.
I've never talked to him. I've talked to Dane.
Yeah.
You know, he's told me. So, I mean, I think it works great. I mean, that's the way I do it. You find somebody, you know, who's done it and ask them.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's tied together on social media. Send them a Facebook message.
Yeah.
Ask Michelle Darling. She knows. She'll tell you how easy it is.
Yeah.
But well, Bobby, I guess we'll let you get on with your presidential duties.
All right.
You're certainly doing a better job presidenting this than, you know, the guy running our country. So we'll let you go do a better job. You have a higher approval rating in the WCRA.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But I do want to talk to you about some 12 gauge stuff too, though.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Bobby. We are here day two at the WCRA event here at Stockyards. We are sitting with Brandon. Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're not necessarily new to rodeo, but...
I come out of a small town in South Texas, Cotulla, Texas.
Famous people from Cotulla, Texas.
There's a lot of famous people from Cotulla, Texas. It's getting put back on the map now. I started rodeoing when I was real young and kind of always been on the back of a horse, roping and riding and stuff. And my freshman year of high school, I really got into riding broncs and trying to make a new step for myself in that direction. And I feel like I've really brought myself a long ways in it now, being able to come here and compete at this kind of deal.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting, right? So if you're roping, you're doing just regular horse stuff. The second you step on any type of a bronc, especially a saddle bronc, it's a pretty hard lesson, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a completely different world. I mean, you're going from sitting square and knowing how to ride one when they're not trying to get you off to having to lean back and set your shoulders and really try to ride one when you have no control over anything.
Yeah. I think that's probably what's so nice. Like if you get bored with certain things, like maybe roping or something, and you go into rough stock, it like completely changes your whole outlook on the sport of rodeo, doesn't it?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I didn't really get bored of roping. I just kind of wanted to get a little more of an adrenaline rush and be a little more classic country.
Yeah. Go with the original rodeo event, the first.
Yeah.
Saddle bronc.
What really kicked it all off.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I bet a lot of people probably don't realize that, but you'll hear different people talk about saddle bronc and this and that, and I don't know if a lot of people realize that is literally the first event ever created in rodeo. Makes sense.
Yeah, it wasn't really intentionally created, I don't think.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think any of it was.
No, it just kind of come about, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what is a... I know Kyle was giving us a little bit of backstory on you, some information. I know you're just kind of getting your rodeo career started. And I'm sure just like anybody who dedicates their life to it and puts all the blood, sweat, and tears into it, you'll go exactly where you want to. But what is it like for you to compete at these WCR events? I know you had the highest score last night. I'm sure that was a big highlight for you and a lot of momentum going into today and everything else.
Yeah, man, it's great. Last night was a really big thing for me. This weekend's been really big, been really rough on me. I had a big loss in the family just coming into this weekend, and I kind of dedicated this weekend to the loss. And getting to compete at this thing's great. Going from just amateurs and college rodeos to being able to compete with some of the best in the world and standing a chance to get on the best of the horses as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a different level of competition. If you like, if you go right at the college national finals, that's one thing. I mean, if that's the pinnacle you've been to, but then you come here and you've got NFR bucking horses and you've got 3-time world champions like Tim. I saw Tim's truck in the parking lot. I mean, it's a whole nother. Well, that's bareback, but even still, just in general, the level is different for you to have the high score. I mean, that's got to be a big confidence booster for you going into today.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely helping me out going into tonight. And it really, really boosted my confidence, like you said. It helps me understand that I can be here to compete and give these guys a run for their money.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And all it takes is a big win like this, and then you're one of those guys. You see the stories of all, like, the greats in rodeo and saddle bronc, bareback, bull riding, and usually there's one or two things that kind of catapult them into that stratosphere. Well, I mean, what are your goals outside of obviously focusing on the night, but when it pertains to rodeo, I mean, what are your aspirations?
Man, I'm kind of like everybody out there in the rodeo world. I want to go for the NFR, and I want to try to win the world, but I don't want to just do it once. I want to try to do it as a career and prove to everybody that I can be there and I should be there, kind of like the rest of everyone out there, but I don't want to be the best out there, but I want to be the most consistently the best anyway.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's refreshing for us because usually we're talking to the people who've been there, done that, are doing it. We don't really, just because of the nature of our show, we don't get to talk to people who are aspiring for that stuff. So it's really neat to see you had your big win last night. You're going to do something, hopefully, you know, with your confidence. I don't know if you saw your horse yet or what it is, but, I mean, we wish you all the luck and hopefully you get it.
Yeah, I mean, we get to do a draw at 5 o'clock, and I'm hoping for the best out of it. And I kind of got my eyes set on Delta Dawn. She's been in NFR and has a really good trip, and I feel like I can get something done on her tonight. So,
all right. Well, we hope you do get that, and best of luck to you tonight.
Thank you.
It's great to meet you, Brandon.
You too.
The lights are really annoying, aren't they?
A little bit. It's okay.
Because there's no, like, lights
there's
down
nothing here. Yeah.
You would just look like a dark. No one would even know who you were. All right, we are here with Jordan Driver. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, for sure.
Glad you took some time, you know, before your run. So,
yeah.
Do you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Obviously, you're pretty young, so and a little different than our normal guests.
Yeah, I'm 19. I'm college rodeoing right now in the Southwest region, and I've come to I think nearly every single WCR event. We've really loved coming to them, especially when I was in high school. I was able to do it a little more easier because I played sports. I went through the 4 years and tried to rodeo and play high school sports, so that was pretty fun. But it was neat for us because I could just go to my local jackpots and get into these, so they've been really good and really good for my horses and different competition, still really good competition, but it's easier to get into them and get my horses and kind of see where I'm at, and it's been really fun. So
yeah it's interesting when you get to talk to people who didn't commit their whole like youth to just rodeo. We did the same thing. We always played high school sports, and those actually take precedent over rodeo usually. Is that how it was for you?
My coaches were actually really good about letting me do both. They worked around the schedules and everything, but it was kind of tough because I had to choose, like, especially during the American. Actually, the past 4 years I was in regional basketball tournament, so I was having to drive back and forth, and my sports was really good. Rodeo was going to be my main thing. I got offers to go run track and play basketball, but I always knew I was going to be in the rodeo industry, and really started focusing my barrel racing these past 2 years. I filled my card as soon as I filled my permit at the WPRA finals last year. I won the WPRA permit finals. So I filled it, and I just decided to rodeo on my rookie card last year just to kind of get the sights and see what my horses liked up. I went up north and rodeoed up there over the 4th, and then I bought my card. So this year will be my rookie season, and we're going to try to go hard. So it's kind of exciting to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, well, and I mean, obviously you've got some horsepower. We saw you did really well in the qualifier in Glen Rose, which is like the hardest qualifier. And yes. You got two horses in.
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting.
It was really cool because during that we were going to Rosenberg and all those rodeos, and I was driving back and forth to Vernon, Texas, where we had a college rodeo. And I wasn't even going to enter the qualifier because I was hoping I was going to be up in the short round. And there's over 200 barrel racers, and so it's kind of just a long shot at every single one of our college rodeos. And I was like, no, I'm not going to enter. Well, at the last second, I was like, well, you know, if something happens, I'll enter the qualifier and see what goes on. And I ended up being 11th in the round, in the long round, on my mare by 0.02 or something. And so we were like, well, heck, we've already entered. So we took them down there. My mom met me with my second horse, and then I got both of them in. So it was kind of, it played out pretty good. So I was pretty excited about that.
That is exciting. Yeah, especially this year with the American, you've come in as a qualifier. It's $2 million.
It's a lot of money.
Pretty sweet. And that'll keep you going down the road, rodeoing for like 6 months. So that'll be good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, so the horse that you're riding now, Riley, is the eyes and ears. She tells me everything I need to know, but apparently that horse was hurt for quite a while.
Yeah.
This is the first run back.
Yes. I bought him 2 years ago from Molly Montgomery. She fraternity him a lot, and I bought him at the Ardmore fraternity and qualifier. I was up there, and I bought him like right after she placed on the Derby. I bought him, took him home, had two runs on him, and he tore his rear suspensory, and he's so big. He's nearly 17 hands tall, so he's huge. And for the longest, we couldn't actually find out what was wrong because he would block out into somewhere in his rear, but he wouldn't pinpoint it. So he underwent two MRIs, a surgery to finally get it, and then he was so big, the recovery process was so long because we would go two steps forward, and then we'd get to riding him, and then it'd get worse. So we'd have to come back. And then about two months ago, our vet finally gave us the go-ahead to – we have nothing to lose at this point. He was the best he was at that last checkup. And so I took him. I just took him to an exhibition. And I was like, well, we'll just see, kind of just lope him through and see what he does. And so after that, and so then I went up to Amarillo at that Christmas cache, and I was like, this is going to be the first run to see what he's going to do under pressure. And the first day, Saturday, I pulled the barrel over to win second in the first round. And then Sunday would be his second run. He won it, and then ran the fastest time out of the weekend, over 1,000 runs. So then after that, he held, and so we're like, oh, okay. So then I was like, I'm going to run him down here. We're going to see what he does. Well, he is 7, and he had 2 years off, and he was a baby when we bought him, and so he's never been to a rodeo performance, nothing. And I was quite a little nervous when we came in because they had the open arena, and I came in here, and he acted like he had no idea what the barrels was bucking, and I was like, well, I have nothing to lose. I mean, these are you. If it's your day here, it is. So I ran him, and he did great, and he loved it. So it was really exciting to see that's his third run back, and then he clocked in here. So it was great.
That is, yeah. I mean, it's exciting, and you know, we look forward to seeing what you do with your season next year. And it's really fun for us because we don't usually get to talk to young people. We'd be like, we have no one under the age of 21 in our studio, so it's nice. We come here, we get to talk and see people who are getting their journey started, and usually we're talking to people who are either in it or have already done it. So
yeah. It's
exciting, and we look forward to watching you, and yeah, all good things for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we have Larry D. Guy here. Obviously, you need no introduction. Everybody knows who you are in the breakaway world, but some of the things I wanted to ask you was obviously your opinion on the WCRA, but you've been involved in breakaway for a long time. I mean, you...
Don't say how many years, but it's okay. Long time.
I'll let you say. You could tell. I would never ask a lady her age.
That's right. That's right.
That's the smart way to do it, if you want to keep all your teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah, some of you girls would knock me out. But not today. You said you're going to be nice. You're wearing the pink. Maybe him. He'll take a beating. Or Kyle.
Yeah, maybe.
Kyle's the whipping boy of the WCRA, it sounds like. But as far as the sport of breakaway, I mean, it's obviously been talked about to death by a lot of people because it's just blown up so much over the last few years. But for you personally, being involved in it for so long, being in the WPRA for so long, and kind of the, like, you don't want to say unknown because anybody in the industry knows it, but it's not like it's was the barrel racing where it's televised. And now you guys are almost as popular as the breakaway ropers, and it just has exploded, which is exciting for rodeo. But, I mean, what are your opinions on that? What does it mean to you? All the silly questions.
Well, I guess first off, there's lots of ladies that and lots of people involved in getting breakaway to where it is right now. And I've been at it a long time, as you said. I probably started, I would say, 45 years ago at my first event. So it's been a while. But, you know, the WCRA are the first ones to put us on the big stage.
Yep.
We walked across, or actually I walked out in the arena with J.B. Mooney and Trevor and all those guys in Chicago, Illinois.
I remember
that.
Wrote
for $50,000. Yeah. And, you know, that was the start. That was the start of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, the American jumped on, then the PRCA jumped on, and, you know, it just exploded, you know, since then. And the explosion is great because I feel that what pro rodeo is missing is another women's event.
Always has been.
You know, we have one. And with having the barrel race and the breakaway, we're going to have two, hopefully, you know, we do at the rodeos. I mean, yep. A lot of the rodeos have jumped on board, and they've been, you know, the committees have been really, really good to us. They're great. I mean, and, you know, we try to do our part. If we don't, let us know, and we'll do better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the NFR, we would like to, you know, we'd like to be included just like everybody else, and I feel that one day that'll happen. I hope that I'm able to do that.
Yeah, well, and I think what's great about the breakaway, like if you look at the flow at like Thomas and Mack, right, it can fit in really simple because it doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, you can run the breakaway as fast, if not faster than the barrels, just based on the time and how they have everything dialed in and the tie down, the team roping. I think it fits in great.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it won't take, you know, over probably by the time you brought the flag in and did the event and then brought the winner back around and interviewed them, it won't take even 20 minutes. I mean, it's going to take probably 15 to 17 minutes total to do it all.
Yeah.
So I don't feel it. I don't feel that really time is an issue. They may blame it on time, but I just don't feel time is an issue. I mean, I feel there's maybe some other things that, you know, may be holding it back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's probably a conversation for a studio episode, but it's fun to see just anything that has to do. You don't want to sound wokey or anything like that, but when you look at like how hard it was for the WPRA with the barrels and different time, but rodeo has always needed more women's stuff to be on the center stage, and like what better, not really another, I mean, you wouldn't see pole bending, it just wouldn't really work. Breakaway is fast, it's quick, it's kind of an electric sport. There's a really nice pinnacle and a quick finish to get a crowd excited. It's the perfect event for, you know, being popular in rodeo. And the WCRA, when they did the deal in Chicago, it was interesting for people who grew up in rodeo, who knew people who breakaway and did all that, to get to see that. Like, you get to see a female breakaway roper standing next to the richest, most popular cowboy in the entire world. I mean, that had to have been amazing for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I'm thankful. Very thankful to everyone that got us here, and especially the WCRA for giving us that first chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is it that you like about the WCRA compared to, you know, obviously rodeo?
Well, I mean, I love the WCRA because it gives everyone an opportunity to get to a main event, mm-hmm. like to a big event. I mean, you can nominate at any place you go. You can nominate jackpots. You can nominate your amateur rodeos. You can nominate anywhere you go to get on the leaderboard and be able to get to events like this in Cowtown.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because you get mixed reports for people. Well, why is the WCRA so hard? And we just were talking to Bobby about it, and I've always looked at it and been like, no, it's like the simplest thing. You want to know what's hard? Rodeoing all year, talking to pro comp, having your schedules, you know, be convoluted and conflicted. This is not. You nominate, hopefully you make it into the top positions, and then you go to an event.
Oh yeah, nominating is not a hard thing. I mean,
it isn't.
As you said, I've been in the industry a long time, so I'm pretty old. And you know, like, typing was an elective when I went to school.
Yeah.
You know, computers was an elective.
Yeah.
And to be able to get my iPhone and open it up and nominate, it's not hard.
No,
because I'm able to do it.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Well, Larry D, we're going to let you get on with the competition, and you look stellar.
Thank
I like
you.
The little thing on your tooth, the little yeah. glittery thing. That's something. I bet yeah. a lot of people didn't notice that, but
they don't. But you did.
I did notice
that's
it because
right.
it's you know it's 2021, almost
that's
2022,
right.
and it's like this rapper thing going on in Breakaway.
Yeah,
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it lowers the age.
That's right.
You
that's
should do
right.
another one on the other tooth.
Well, you know the reason that I had it is JJ Hampton has one, so we're both 50, so I thought it would be a kind of a cool thing for both of us to have one.
Yeah, yeah. You there's a lot of things you have to do to keep up with JJ.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Screaming, yelling, being just big.
Going fast. She's always fast.
She is, in every way.
Yeah.
You got to love it, though.
I love her.
All right, we'll let you go. And we're going to do this again in the studio sometime.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you talk to Riley. She fixed your hair.
I know. We're supposed to get something together for sure.
Everybody else has done it.
I know, and I'm on it.
You're on it. You better be.
Okay.
You better have two diamonds in your teeth
That's
next
right.
time. All right, we're here with Britta. So you're actually breakaway roping and barrel racing, right, here?
Yeah, so I'm running breakaway and barrels tonight. I guess I've always done, like, the all-around stuff. In high school rodeo, I worked 5 events, and it was always crazy, so tonight won't be much different than
yeah.
it's been.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself. We're doing something we usually don't do. Usually we're talking to not younger people. So it's really nice to get to do that and get to talk to some of the people who are up and coming in rodeo and you know, probably have a bright future in it. So if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, that would be nice.
Yeah, I guess when you remarked on the younger people, one thing to throw in before I talk about myself is I guess that's a big thing that the WCRA allows us to do. And I mean, PRCA rodeo, you have to be 18, obviously, to buy a card and stuff like that. So this is something that all of us actually can show up at, like Josie Connor and all of us that are younger. Maddie, who goes to Texas A&M with me, we all get to come and do these events, which is cool. But about myself, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My dad's an orthopedic surgeon, and my mom is an international flight attendant. And I used to do show jumping, and then rodeo kind of just came about. Goats got loose on my property from the horse trainer down the street, and we brought them back. And she said if I ever wanted to come have a riding lesson, I could. And I cried at the end of every single lesson, but I absolutely loved it and wasn't going to quit. And then, so I guess kind of here I am and ended up going to Texas A&M, and I really, really like it. It's been a great school. I'm studying biomedical science, animal science with a biomed minor. So it's pretty tough to balance school and rodeo together, but I really absolutely love the school and the coach, so that's where I'm at right now.
Wow. So you're, like, really, really smart.
We're hoping organic chemistry is not one I have to take again.
Yeah.
I had to retake it after COVID, but I have, like, a 3.5, so it's been pretty good.
That's pretty impressive at Texas A&M. So you're leveraging all these different things. You're from Florida. Kyle said you surfed, and, like, you do all these different things. But you don't have parents who have a background in rodeo at all.
Yeah. So that's actually something I was talking about with my boyfriend, who's also not a rodeo person. He's a hockey player for A&M. He's from Edmonton, Alberta, today. And it's just it's a lot different. I don't have the ins that people do. I don't have necessarily the access to buy different horses that people do. And
sure.
kind of have all those pathways that have led people to quicker success, I'd say. Not that they don't work at it as much. It's just they have opportunities right in front of them that maybe some other people who haven't been involved in it and don't have family like in it have and I guess it's been harder kind of with rules, honestly, would be the biggest thing. And then I guess other than that, I mean, it's all the same. To get to the top, you have to work at it. So
yeah it's interesting though, because it's a totally different experience if you don't have somebody you can call and say, how do I do this?
Yeah,
right? Because if you're from Fort Lauderdale
yeah.
and you're like, I don't have a background in rodeo, you kind of just decided to do it, you
yeah.
didn't have anybody you could call.
Yeah, no, and that's actually the funny thing. I had to get a new calipers and new rotor for my truck, and my dad found the parts in Florida that were apparently sold out in Texas, because no one has a truck in Florida. Everyone has trucks in Texas.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It plays back and forth. I've fallen in with a lot of really good people. I mean, Joe Beaver, I can call him anytime. Lynn Core, that's the lady who trained my barrel horse, I can call her anytime. And they're ones that have gone before me and kind of know the ropes. So I have some good people in my corner.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to have anybody in your corner, Joe B, and obviously Lynn's no stranger to barrel horses.
Yep.
So
yeah.
That's great. And that's one of the cool things, probably. If you're not from it, you didn't grow up in it like I did, or you're not ingrained in it, or you are now, but you weren't.
Yeah. People will take you under their wing quick.
They just do. You have access to legendary people who will help you in any way. Joe B will take anybody in and basically make him their kid.
Yeah. And I'd say that's how it is with rodeo, different than other sports. It's kind of like a family thing. Like, everybody kind of knows everybody. And I guess in, sports like baseball or something, you wouldn't, I don't know who's a really good baseball player, but somebody who is, one of the best, you probably wouldn't have access to. But that's a little bit different in rodeo, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things that keeps everybody in it. And if they come to it, it's the most refreshing thing. You feel like you can actually go somewhere because there's someone who will help you.
Yeah, it's really kind of a homey feeling, I guess.
It is, And I imagine that's probably why you like it so much. And, you're obviously leveraging a whole bunch of different things, but what are some of your goals in rodeo? You're young, you're new blood. We like to have new blood in rodeo, but, do you have aspirations yet? Do you have goals? What are you planning?
Yeah, so I guess obviously my main one ever since I was, 9 and found out what rodeo was, it's the NFR. Whose goal is it the NFR who runs barrels and as a kid? And now, obviously, Taylor Jacobs, she just became the first qualifier in the barrels and the breakaway. So, following in her footsteps, she also is an Aggie. She rodeoed for A&M, so it's kind of the same thing, and she doesn't live far down the road in Carmine, so that's been pretty cool. I guess that would be my biggest goal, is to get qualified in both. I love, love, love competing in both events. I like not having my mind on just one the whole time. It's nice to kind of just hang out and then do one and then be able to do the next, and it makes it more worth going to everything for sure, too.
It would be pretty cool to have a female all-around champion.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that would be cool. That's what they should get next.
It can happen.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a thing. Well, we're going to let you get ready to go compete in your two events, and it was awesome to meet you, and we wish you all the luck in your science-y crap and rodeo.
thank you.
You're
welcome. Appreciate it.
Generally, if I don't know somebody or we haven't met before, I just like to know a few things about you. So if you tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name's Josie Connor. I'm a breakaway roper. I'm 18 years old. I live in Iowa, Louisiana. I've been roping as long as I can remember. My dad and my mom. My dad was a tie-down roper. He PRCA rodeoed a little bit. My mom high school rodeoed, but now she works for Pfizer, the largest pharmaceutical company in the world.
We know who it is.
And so.
Everyone knows who Pfizer is right now.
I know it. I know. She's a pharmaceutical sales rep, but I've been breakaway roping for as long as I could remember, and pretty much all of my friends come from this industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty tight group.
I know
if you're born in it, you stay in it.
I know it. Yeah, I know it.
But, so that's your background and everything. What are some of your goals and aspirations? So the Gauge, we don't usually get to talk to young people just because of the nature of what the show is, and that's what we get to do today. So it's really nice to get to see some people who are up and coming, who are starting their journey. You know, it's got to be interesting being in the breakaway, getting to hang around with people like JJ and Jackie and Larry
They're
D.
Cool.
And what does that do for someone like you who's young and you get to come and compete against them at a place like this?
You know, actually, my parents kind of threw me to the wolves at a really young age. Like before, you know, all the WCRAs and the breakaway got into the PRCA, the only thing the breakaway roping really had was the UPRA or the CPRA, the amateur associations in Texas.
Yep.
And I've been going to them since I was probably 8 years old.
Really?
Got in my 13 hand line back done horse, getting my butt kicked, you know, just happy if when we catch the calf, which is still pretty simple sometimes. I still get happy when we catch.
Right.
But it's kind of now, I don't even look at them. You can't look at them as, your rivals or anything that. They're more of, your friend. And because no matter who you're roping against, you just have to do your job. And then if it does good, it does good. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, they're awesome people just to be around. And you meet so many people in this industry that will be in your life forever.
You do. Yeah.
Yes.
And the great thing about, the elites and the greatest people in rodeo, as far as competitors go, is they're so approachable. If you're an 18-year-old kid, and it's a little different in the breakaway because, the breakaway just hit its main stage where, you have people like JJ or Jackie who are, multiple figure world champions in the WPRA, and not a lot of people even really knew that was going on because it wasn't on the main stage. Unless you really dug rodeo and were interested in breakaway, it just hit a big stage now.
I know, it just hit a big stage, and the fans really love it.
They
and
do.
So, you know, they really get into it, and so I'm so glad. You know, I've kind of been a part of it the whole time. I wasn't at the very first WCRA major, but I was at Kansas City, and I was at the first American, and so, I kind of like to think that I kind of grew with the sport, and it was really cool to be involved in all of that.
Yeah, no, I bet. And the opportunities at the American and this, just one, you got to cut, you're kind of an anomaly because most kids don't do that. You see a few little barrel racers do that, but, a really interesting background on you. What I mean, what are some of your goals and your aspirations going forward?
As a breakaway roper?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know. I get to compete in this year's American, the 2022 American, you know, and I would definitely say as a breakaway roper, just to be wherever the money's big. So be it all the WCRAs and the Americans and just stuff like that. But as far as what's my breakaway roping goal, I just try to make the best run I can every time.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And just see where that goes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the more great runs you have, the more chances.
Yes.
You get to become legendary like those ladies.
You have to get a time
like
to be
ladies.
On the board.
You do. It's amazing to see, like, the times that are put in, too. Just the sport is elevated so much. And then it elevates everything else from the horses. And it is so hard to find a great finished calf horse right now because, like, you can just have a great breakaway horse and not have to go through all that. But, well, we look forward to watching you. And thanks for taking the time. And sorry I made you stand there awkwardly for so long.
It's fine. You really didn't. I was sitting down there for a while, so it's okay.
Even longer?
Yeah, it's really fun. You know, the chairs at the bottom are kind of comfortable.
Wait, is it fine? Are you sure?
It's really fun. Okay. It's really fun.
Good. Well, thank you, Josie, and good luck tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you.
This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Riley Chone. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time.